All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to the chat right here at the bottom. Neon Widow, Naz is on. Why Not Me is on. 7-Eleven Gasoline hits different. Hanslick Donovan is on. Alpha Acres is on. Mike Griffin's on. Nitsu 99 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Alpha Acres is on. Danal 59 is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Deb Plant is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Veronica 18201 is on. Itchin' McGroin is on. Luann 5 is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Dave Souders is on. Scott Alot is on. Will's on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Todd Suff is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Perry Heather 120 is on. Confederate 1 is on. R Major 79 is on. Swifty Shooter 96 is on. Stepha Toms is on. Gritterdom is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Nicola, something like that. Sorry, brother, if I'm getting it wrong, is on. W1 or WI, Honey Badger is on. C-Stuff is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. I see Peg McGroin right here at my bottom. Ron John Boogerman's also on. Silent is on. Airborne is on. You guys just keep popping on. Appreciate you. 833 people on with us, not counting Christian Television Network, which is also live right now from Fort Myers all the way up to northern Sarasota. God bless you guys. Really appreciate you. Let's hop right to the first one. Will Chuck Colestro tweet. Just in, massive lines forming in Nassau Coliseum to see Trump in Uniondale, NY. Listen, folks, there was 16,000, as you read right here from Chuck Colestro, 16,000 seat capacity, and there were 60,000 tickets requested in New York City. Nassau County, for all intents and purposes, the area right around New York City, like Long Island-ish and all of that, that's Nassau County. If there are 60,000 Trump ticket requests, If New York is even remotely close, I tell you once again, it's over. And this is absolutely jam-packed. You saw on the pregame, the lines in New York City, not the lines, the people lining the streets in New York City, it looked like the Thanksgiving Day parade. And that's in downtown New York City, waiting for Trump's motorcade to go by. Trump's not even stopping. That's just waiting for, they don't even know which car he's in, so they could wave at Trump's motorcade as it went by. If New York State is close, it's over. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. There's a shot he could take New York. There really is. There's a shot the man could actually take New York, because I'm telling you, the polls are heavily going towards Trump right now. And I wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't true. That doesn't mean that every last single one of us doesn't need to get out and vote. We have got to get out and vote to defeat the rigging, to defeat the cheating. If there is cheating that's just allowed to proliferate, there's nothing we can do. But we're going to believe for differently. We know that there are certain states where there's going to be mass cheating. There is no such thing as too big to rig. But we can make it very, very difficult for them to rig. And we can snatch states that don't have a infrastructure for mass cheating, i.e. states like Virginia. There's mass cheating in New York, but really only in NYC itself. The rest of the state really is red. And there are states that we can absolutely take. Trump is up nationally by like 6 points. If Trump is down by 2 points nationally, it's over. He wins. He wins. If we're down by 2 points nationally, he wins. He's actually up 6 points nationally and up really pretty much in every swing state, with the exception of sometimes Pennsylvania. And then New Mexico, which was not a swing state till now, tends to lean towards Harris right now. Trump, last I saw, was still tied or up, even in Nevada. So all of this Kamala AstroTurf momentum is over. Now people are actually saying what they believe. People are actually lining up where they're going to vote. And Kamala Harris is listen, if it was an honest election, if it was honest elections, I would say it's over right now. Absolutely over. But we are going to have to outvote the cheat. So we're going to need to turn out in mass everywhere. And by the way, we need to turn out in mass no matter what. Even if you're watching right now and you're in the state of California, or you're in the state of Minnesota, which is a pseudo swing state, if you're in the state of New York watching right now, or Massachusetts, or Delaware, or even Connecticut, you know, states where it seems impossible for Trump to win, still go out and vote so that we win the popular vote. I don't want to hear it for another 4 years. Yeah, you know, you won the Electoral College, but you didn't win the popular vote. The reason why we don't win the popular vote is solely because of the state of California. We have 40 million people. Even with 1 million leaving per year, there's still around 40 million people there. And no Republicans really vote in the elections because they know there's no chance of Trump getting those Electoral College votes. So, but if you live in California, vote, because we want to win the popular vote. We really need to do it. I mean, look at this turnout. It's amazing. 16,000 seat capacity in the Nassau Coliseum. 60,000 ticket requests for the Trump rally. And tons of people lined up and waiting outside. And up to days waiting outside. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Is that DC Drano? Good. All right. Here, DC Drano tweet. Update. Apparently, the explosives found outside of this rally. This is all, most of you already know, this has already been debunked and everything else. Where DC Drano debunks it for us right here. Found at the Trump rally were being used to train a bomb sniffing dog and are not a threat. Nassau County Police Commissioner says reports of explosives found at the site are unfounded. This is a person being questioned. There's a person being questioned. He was actually being held for questioning. He was actually put in custody, not arrested, but put in custody. Which is kind of the same thing. But anyway, who may have been training a bomb detection dog near the site. Who on earth? Now, here's the thing, said Commissioner of Police Patrick Ryder. You can just leave this up for me, Will, for just a moment. Now, again, with this, and we need to hearken back to J6, and I'm going to read you a Darren J. Beatty tweet in a second that backs this up, but it's just very odd that somebody would be training a bomb-sniffing dog right next to where you're doing a Trump rally. Okay, with all that's going on right now with Ryan Routh and of course, Crooks and all those different connections, which I'll try not to get into tonight, but we've gone ad nauseum with Ryan Routh for the last two nights where I'm supposed to be done at 9 o'clock and I keep getting done at 10:30 or 10:37 on Monday. But anyway, it's just very strange that you have somebody doing bomb-sniffing dog practical exercises right near a presidential rally. I mean, it's very strange in light of what's going on, what went on at J6, where you end up with these two bombs found outside the RNC and the DNC, of which to this day, the ones found outside the DNC, Kamala Harris refuses to comment on at all. I mean, you'd think that she would use that like they do 1-6 all the time, or AOC's lies about how she narrowly escaped with her life, even though she was 2 miles away. But anyway, I digress. But you have the J6, you have these J6 bombs that are set up that are absolutely either practice bombs or fake bombs. And of course, what do you do with fake bombs? If you're the FBI, you blow them up. So they're fake bombs with egg timers on them. I mean, they look like something out of not even a good 1981 movie. They look like something out of a B 1981 movie. So you had that going on. It's just very strange coincidences all the time when it comes to these various attempts on Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that this is an attempt, but again, who would be training a bomb sniffing dog outside of a police dog or outside of a police officer? I mean, there is no bomb sniffing dogs in civilian practice. You have some cadaver dogs in civilian practice. You have some very few. You have human scent dogs in civilian practice, but you have zero civilian practice drug dogs and zero civilian practice bomb dogs. So who on earth is training this dog to smell bombs, to detect bombs? I mean, it's just very strange that this was going on. It's just strange. And it seems like it's been somewhat debunked. But again, it's just very odd considering that there were two bombs left outside of the RNC and the DNC, and nobody's talking about them. Nobody's ever found the suspect. And you think that would give Kamala Harris this precipice all the time to launch from. Look at what a hero I am. I survived the bombing attempt on my life on J6. But she never talks about it because those bombs were placed either by the FBI, the CIA, the ATF, the State Department, the DHS were set there up, and this is Dan Bongino's hypothesis, of which I subscribe, is that they were set there as a backup in case it got to a vote on 1-6 about whether, if Mike Pence wasn't a backstabbing Judas, a Benedict Arnold, and it was actually sent back to the states as it should have been for people to do forensic audits on their electoral system because it was a disaster, and namely in the six states and the seven cities. If Mike Pence had actually had a set and did what he was supposed to do, was a man of integrity, instead of fist bumping Nancy Pelosi and receiving his strange little coin from her. There's just strange stuff going on for a bunch of, you know, it's just very strange. If you don't believe that there's some sort of globalist cabal going on, which there is, a bourgeois leftist globalist elitist cabal going around this world right now, trying to take over the world, trying to leverage us into a one world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by them. But if Mike Pence would have done his job, they were scared that was going to happen. That was their fallback position, of course. And once again, credit Dan Bongino on that, because I subscribed to that, because I never really quite, I knew that it was a setup. I know that the government put out those bombs. And the other fallback position would be if it was a training op, because those were identical to FBI training bombs. Identical to them. Absolutely identical to pictures that the FBI uses to train on. The bombs that were in front of the RNC and the DNC. So once again, and I always tell you, these people are not smart. They're zealous. The same collusion hoax they pulled on Trump, they pulled on McCain also, even using the same names. It's over and over and over again, because they know that the media will never deep dive on these conspiracies. They're not conspiracy theories. They're actual conspiracies that we are investigating. Their conspiracy is just a plan for action. It's a conspiracy to, it's a plan it's either an attempt or a plan to accomplish something. That's all a conspiracy is. All right, let's go to the next one. Just to Darren JB, just backing this up. If you look into historically suspicious events, you'll see a pattern in which there is some kind of training exercise. You mean like Event 201? Oh yeah. Exercise or drill whose subject matter almost exactly overlaps the real life thing that allegedly happens. This allows for plausible deniability when feds are caught. It was just confusion from the exercise. And that was their fault. But for some reason, they can't fall back to that. If it was a training op, which it wasn't, it was never a training op on J6. They were going to call it a training op if it didn't work to dissuade Republicans from taking the vote they should have taken on 1-6. That was the plan. There was never going to be any detonations. It was going to be, oops, we found the bombs. You know, so you guys are not going to be able to take a vote. So you guys are not going to be able to take a vote because we have bombs here, right? That was plan one. And if they got caught, which they did, it was going to be training op. They were going to say it was just a training op like this. And for some reason, they aren't able to fall back on that training op. Something went wrong, i.e. videotape that they didn't know was there. It was videotape of children walking by these bombs and everything else. So how would that work for a training op if you're allowing kids to walk by them? So something happened to blow all that up, not to mention their supposed bomber, which is probably an FBI agent who put the devices on the ground, or allegedly did. But we're never allowed to see that angle. We're allowed to see every angle, but actually seeing him put the bombs down, because he probably didn't put the bombs down at that time. They were probably put down the day of, not the night before. All right, so enough on that. It's just very strange how all this works. Now, I've got to show you this video because I found it to be absolutely riveting. If you watch Alex Jones, you might have already seen it. But it's a little longer than I like to go, 4 minutes and 43 seconds. But it just shows you with all these attempts on where we have Thomas Crooks, Ryan Routh, this latest pseudo bomb thing, which appears to be dispelled, but I really do buy into what Darren Beatty said right there. We need to look at the lineage of the attacks, the assassination attacks, the assassination attempts on our presidents. Who knew the assassins? Who's connected to the assassins? And what was their motivation behind assassinating presidents? So let's look at this. Alex Jones video, lone gunman and telltale signs of MK Ultra assassin. From what we know about the would-be Trump assassin, he seems to have been a deep state asset, obviously. He faced over 100 criminal charges, 70 times convicted felon, including one for possessing an unregistered automatic weapon. So let's look at this and look at the links to certain politicians to the assassins. Play for me, Will.
From what we learn about the recent would-be Trump assassin, He seems to have clearly been an asset of the deep state. He's been criminally charged over 100 times, including once for possessing an unregistered fully automatic firearm. He was recruiting mercenaries to fight in Ukraine and was on the mainstream news to discuss this.
This conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. We're battling a situation here where, you know, the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish, and for some reason Russia does not grasp this concept that we're all one unit. Seems asinine that we have a leader in a country that does not understand the concept of being unselfish and being generous.
He appeared in a video promoting the Azov Brigade. And despite all this, he was somehow able to get a rifle across state lines and within shooting distance to Donald Trump just 2 months after a failed assassination attempt. As Edward Snowden pointed out, there is an Oswald vibe here. And he's right. Almost every assassination conspiracy in history has the same telltale signs. Take deep state heavyweight George H.W. Bush, for instance. Although he said he didn't remember where he was that day, George Bush was in Dallas when JFK was shot. He confidentially reported into the FBI with a cryptic message an hour after the assassination from the Sheraton Dallas Hotel. During this time, George Bush was covertly working for the CIA. CIA asset George de Morenschild, who became friends with Lee Harvey Oswald a year before the JFK assassination, was family friends with George Bush. Bush wrote in an internal CIA memo that he first met him in the early 40s and was associated with him for over a decade. Fast forward to when George Bush was vice president alongside President Ronald Reagan, and Reagan was shot by John Hinckley. The Hinckley family was friends with the Bush family since the 1950s when they were neighbors in Midland, Texas. The Hinckleys were donors to George Bush's political campaigns and supported George W. when he first launched his political career. The families were still close at the time of the shooting, but this was ignored by the media. George Bush's son, Neil Bush, said that he was scheduled to have dinner with John Hinckley's brother, Scott, the day after the shooting, and told the press that Scott Hinckley had been at his house for his surprise birthday party a couple months earlier. John Hinckley Jr. was living with his parents during the time he shot Reagan. His father, John Hinckley Sr., was employed at World Vision, a nonprofit funded by CIA proxy USAID. The lone gunman who shot and killed John Lennon, Mark David Chapman, was also an employee of World Vision. In the fall of 1980, Hinckley was arrested at Nashville Airport, carrying three guns, and was believed to have been stalking President Jimmy Carter, the political opponent of George Bush at the time. The police let him go. Right after that, Hinckley was reportedly stalking the actress Jodie Foster and claimed to have been hearing voices in his head. Notes written by Hinckley were later found where he wrote of a conspiracy to assassinate the president. This was dismissed by his parents as being an imaginary conspiracy and ignored by the court. Dozens of pages concerning Hinckley's personality, his associates, and his financials were deleted by the FBI, and it was decided that Hinckley was insane and acting alone. He was sent to St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital, a hospital with a long history of involvement with the CIA's MKUltra program. This is just a quick glimpse at one of the many old soldiers of the deep state. This sort of thing has been going on forever. The only difference now is that the younger generation, most likely victims of trauma-based mind control themselves, don't seem to have the skills or the motivation that their parents and grandparents once had. And because of the internet, more people are seeing it and pushing for the truth. And maybe someday we will stand up against it rather than watch it slowly eat us all. Reporting for InfoWars.
So it's like the coincidences never end, right? I mean, you look at Ryan Rouse, connections with the Ukraine, connections with the CIA, running no-look passports into the Ukraine. Somehow he ends up on hole six of the golf course that Trump was on hole five of. 12 hours in advance. Amazing how that happens. Well, you have George Herbert Walker Bush, the first George Bush, is in Dallas the day that JFK is shot, but lies to everybody and says that he wasn't. Why would he do that? I mean, just go. I mean, have you ever asked that? Why would anybody lie? Again, why is everything redacted? Because you're trying to cover up something. Why would you lie if you're George Herbert Walker Bush and say that you weren't in Dallas the day that JFK was shot when you were? And on that day, he sends an encrypted message to the FBI that nobody's ever been able to read. All the while at that time working as a CIA asset and then ends up running the CIA. Isn't that weird? I mean, again, it's just very weird that John Brennan was doing the exact same thing as Ryan Roth, running no-look passports in the United States for the 9/11 hijackers. And then John Brennan ends up in charge of the CIA. He ends up being the director of the CIA. Weird, isn't it? It's absolutely odd. I mean, it's almost as if all of this is planned, right? So then you have John Hinckley. You're like, well, that can't be anything. He's just some nut job. Well, really? Well, his dad was working for World Vision, which is an NIAID, which is a USAID. I always get NIAID and USAID mixed up for some reason. But USAID, which is simply a cutout. It is a funder, is a funding organization for the United States interests overseas, but it's simply a CIA cutout. And John Hinckley's dad worked for World Vision, which was a USAID CIA cutout. Weird. That's just a weird coincidence too, right? That's just a very weird coincidence. Hey, Aaron, help me out with what I told you, okay? So this is a very, very weird coincidence. So you have John Hinckley himself, okay? The Bush family, was friends with the Hinckley family. Scott Hinckley, brother of John Hinckley, was scheduled to have dinner with one of the Bush brothers on or about the day of the assassination. It's weird, isn't it, how the Hinckleys are actually strongly related or are close friends with the Bushes while George W. Bush is the vice president of the United States at the time that Ronald Reagan is assassinated, or the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, which is very close to killing the man. I mean, what are the odds of the, I mean, why is this not known? Why is it that Alex Jones has to run this down? I mean, how hard would it be for ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, whatever mainstream Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, whatever media outlets were there at the time, how hard would it have been to discover that the Hinckleys, that the Bushes were very close friends with the Hinckley family? Very close friends with them. Not associates, not had had some sort of nebulous business deal 10 years before or anything like that. They were friends with the Hinckley family. The Bush's son was scheduled to have dinner with Hinckley's son. And then John Hinckley, with John Hinckley's dad's son, John Hinckley's brother. And then John Hinckley's the one who ends up shooting Ronald Reagan. Just like you have CIA cutout Ryan Routh running no-look passports from Pakistan to Iran to Ukraine. Just like you have John Brennan running no-look passports from Pakistan to Iran into the United, Pakistan to Saudi Arabia into the United States. Do you realize that the reason why you had the 9/11 hijackers in the United States of America are because of the no-look passports that were put in place by John Brennan, who later became the head of the CIA under Barack Hussein Obama? And just like George W. Bush ended up becoming the head of the CIA. Very strange, isn't it? And then the reason why none of this is ever exposed is because we have a very compliant, bent-over Goebbels media. Let's go to the next one. Trump War Room video. I just had to put this out here. Listen, Senator Blumenthal, you know, the one who lied about his military service, you know, sounds very familiar, like Tim Walz. Senator Blumenthal, I am reaching the point of total outrage because the response from the DHS, Alejandro Mayorkas, that's the Secret Service also, has been totally lacking. Their response to the investigation into the Butler and now West Palm Beach assassination attempt, it's tantamount to Stonewalling. So Blumenthal is saying DHS, which DHS sent an interdepartmental memo to the Secret Service to not comply with congressional subpoenas or congressional requests for information, not subpoenas, but requests for information that should now turn into subpoenas so that these people can be charged with crimes at a later date. Because they obviously won't be charged with crimes under Eric Garland and Lisa Monaco. But Blumenthal, now even Blumenthal, Blumenthal is left of Lenin. And now he's even being fed up with the stonewalling from the DHS, who refuses. Why are you refusing to give any information about the Butler assassination attempt? What? That's as if you have something to hide, right? Well, here's Blumenthal. Play it for me, Will.
I am reaching the point of total outrage because the response from the Department of Homeland Security has been totally lacking. In fact, I think it's tantamount to stonewalling in many respects. If necessary, I'll certainly support a subpoena.
It's absolutely, now even Blumenthal is supporting these requests for information turned into subpoenas. And by the way, why hasn't that happened already? Whichever committee it is, whether it's the Judicial Committee, which is run either by Comer or Jordan, I can't remember, why are they not subpoenaed already? You know who you're dealing with. You know that you are dealing with lawless, lying, perjurious criminals. Why have you not subpoenaed them already? You know, it's like the video that we showed in the post game a couple of nights ago about the Republicans always talking about the power of the purse, and we're going to use the power of the purse, and they never do it. We're still $36 trillion in debt. They never use the power of the purse to leverage budgets into actually being budgets, into actually being fiscally responsible. So why in the world is this not already subpoenaed? Just don't even start with the request. Subpoena it all. Get it on the record. You're like, Tom, it won't work because, you know, the response to not obeying a subpoena is criminal charges, which is obstruction of Congress, and that would go through the DOJ, and that won't happen right now. But yeah, but you get it on the record now. Why aren't they getting on the record now? If you have a CAPIUS, a probable cause affidavit, for obstruction of Congress on the record now, you can charge them with, you can actually charge them with it later. There's plenty of statute of limitations. When we run the DOJ on January 20th at noon of 2025, we can now take all of those inactive CAPIUS warrants, all those inactive CAPIUSs, all those inactive probable cause affidavits, and go ahead and charge all of these people. Get that on the record now. Why isn't that happening with James Comer? Why isn't that happening with Jim Jordan? Why isn't it happening with Matt Gaetz? Why isn't it happening with anybody in Congress? Why are they not either calling for publicly subpoenas or issuing subpoenas to these people? Even Blumenthal is getting fed up, which, by the way, he's not really getting fed up. He's getting on the record saying that he's fed up so he can cover his butt later because he knows Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. All right, switching here again. We did a big right-hand turn. Insider paper video. Just in, Trump stopped by a local bar in New York City, bought a round of burgers for everyone, and paid the tab in crypto. This is the first transaction by any president ever, on Bitcoin protocol. Play for me, Will.
Oh, it did go through. All right, we're done.
Perfect.
The first transaction by a president on the Bitcoin protocol. History.
You know what that means? That's history. History of the making. Hello, everybody. I got to go back and see those people.
Well, let's go.
Come on.
Right this way.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I guess it shows the economy is very bad to cut it by that much. Assuming they're not just playing politics, the economy would be very bad, or they're playing politics, one or the other. But it was a big cut.
Mr. President, any reaction to the Teamsters' decision not to endorse?
No, they were. It's a great honor. They're not going to endorse the Democrats. That's a big thing. And this is the first time in, I guess, 50, 60 years that that's happened.
So really just two things here. I mean, first of all, it's a big deal that he purchased something in Bitcoin, because Bitcoin and cryptocurrency on the whole, I absolutely know nothing about it. Just so you know, absolutely nothing. I have just your standard bank accounts and everything else. But I'm a big advocate for Bitcoin, even though I know nothing about it. You know why? Because there is no Fed behind the Bitcoin. There's no Fed behind Bitcoin. So I am all in favor of Bitcoin. Because there is no government control of Bitcoin. It is just pure, unabated, open market capitalism. So I love Bitcoin. I love it. Bitcoin can go both ways because it is a cryptocurrency. It is a cashless currency. So it can go south of Revelation chapter 13 and 14. I get it. But considering the fact that the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist cabal is trying to, via vaccine passport infrastructure, install CBDC, central bank digital currency, cryptocurrency, central banks are owned by the Fed, are owned by London, are owned by the WEF, are owned by the IMF. We don't want, basically, again, the international banking system, which is why they only want six banks in America. The international banking system is fascism. It is the banking system merged with government. That is fascism. There, I know I say this all the time, because since we're always called fascist on the right, and we are actually the opposite, we are the epitome of the opposite of fascism, but we're always called fascist. The opposite of fascism is Donald J. Trump. He's always called a fascist, and they always link it to some racist ideology, which, of course, he's not racist at all either. He's neither fascist nor racist, and racist has nothing to do with fascism. Fascism is the merging of governance and corporatism. That's all that fascism is. And international banking is exactly that. Crypto is the way out of that. So it is great that Donald Trump, because there is no government merged with Bitcoin. Now, of course, what is the government going to try to do? They're going to try to merge with Bitcoin because that's what the devil always does. Those controlled by the devil always do that because they're going to try to leverage us into a one world commerce system. But right now, Bitcoin is great. We need to get behind these cryptocurrencies because they're not controlled by Powell and the Fed. The Fed is private banking. It's so weird. It's just perfect how the devil works. You know, I mean, devil transforms himself into an angel of light, right? It's always putting out deception. It's just funny that everybody calls it the Fed, and it's called the Federal Reserve, as if it is a federal agency, as if it's a governmental agency. It's got nothing to do with the government. It's international bankers. It's banking, and it's bankers merged with the United States government, although still having some measure of autonomy, but still merged with the United States government. And think about it. You have private entities with private interests controlling interest rates. Bitcoin gets rid of all that. And then you had the last little bit there where Trump is talking about the Teamsters for the first time, trying to remember the year. I think it's 50 plus years, but I can't remember. Maybe since 1953, something like that. The Teamsters are endorsing nobody. And the first time in my lifetime, I'm 56, that they didn't endorse a Democratic candidate. And I still think it's weak sauce by the leader of the Teamsters. You got to step up sometime, dude, and just be a man. You were speaking at the RNC. And they didn't want you at the DNC. You know what? It's just time to step up and be a man and say, I'm behind Donald J. Trump. I mean, that's the kind of stances that people need to make. They're afraid to stand in the truth because of the repercussions of standing in the truth. You know what you do when you're afraid of the repercussions of standing in the truth? Stand in the truth anyway. All right, let's go. Leading report tweet. Just letting you know some polling information. Breaking: CEO of Atlas Intel, the most accurate pollster of the 2020 presidential election, gives former President Trump a 70% chance, which is up from 64% chance a week or two ago, 70% chance of victory in November. Just want to put good news out there. Now, back to the bad news. This was the title of tonight's podcast, is that they are trying to take away all of our God-given rights, or as Bongino calls them, big R God-given rights. They're trying to take away our God-given rights. I actually heard somebody talking on Alex Jones today, but it may have been recorded from the day before. No, it was live today. A great person out of Australia. But he was talking about how they don't have the First Amendment, so they don't have the absolute right to speak. That is bullcrap. You have a God-given right to speak. I don't care what any government says. You have a God-given right to speak, period. We have laws that make speech safe already. You're like, what do you mean? I don't mean safe place, Democratic Party feelings, bullcrap. I'm talking about there are already laws that govern speech. All right. And what I mean by that is this: you cannot go to somebody with a gun in your hand, point it at them, and say, I'm going to kill you. That is called an aggravated assault. If you defame somebody, if I spread the rumor that Aaron was an alien, or Aaron was a woman dressed up as a man, I spread that rumor and I caused him to get fired from his job, or I spread horrible rumors that he was an abusive person or whatever it is. Okay, that's covered by defamation. It's already done. We don't need any other laws, just like at the southern border. We don't need any other laws. We need the laws that are already in place to be enforced. That's it. And the speech laws are already fervently enforced. Plenty of defamation lawsuits. In other words, you can say whatever it is that you want to say. You cannot say things that orchestrate violence. That's already a crime. Orchestrating violence, when you are saying, you know what, let's get together tonight and let's go storm something, storm a building and commit mass havoc and crime. That is already a crime. Don't need any more laws. But if you want to say, I hate the Democratic Party, or I hate the Republican Party, or I hate, you can even say you hate this race, that race, this nationality, you should be able to say whatever you want. I hate racism as much as everybody else hates racism. But you're allowed to be a racist. You're allowed to lie. You're allowed to put out misinformation or disinformation. If it crosses into defamation, then that's up to you. If it crosses into criminal speech, which would be orchestrating terrorist activity, then you're allowed to say anything that doesn't break the law. But breaking the law is assaults, which is actual literal assault. Assault by definition, a cop for 25 years, 1992, 2017, right here, is saying that you are about to commit a violent act with the apparent ability to do so. That is an assault. In other words, what it is charging at somebody with your fist clenched and saying, I'm going to punch your lights out. And you're charging at that person. Now, if I just say from afar, you know what? I want to punch your lights out. You don't do anything. That's not a crime. This is all statutes, and all these statutes are basically the same in every state. And if you say, you know what? I'm going to orchestrate a violent act. That's a crime. So, and it's already covered. If you make threats over certain levels or certain types of communications like phones and letters, that's a crime in the state of Florida I'm talking about. So it's already covered is what I'm saying. You're allowed to lie. Revelation 21:8, burn in hell for all of eternity if you are an unrepentant liar. But if you want to lie, you can lie. If you want to go out and say, you know, if I want to put on a big cowboy outfit tonight, and say my name's Tom, and I commandeer the Kamala Harris way, and I just put on some phony accent, and I start saying that I'm Tom from Wyoming, and I got a cowboy hat on, and I talk about the various bulls I've wrangled and ridden and horses and everything else, and I'm six shooters on and everything else. I can do that if I want. I'll die and go to hell for lying, but that would be misinformation, would it not be? Yeah, it would be misinformation, but you're allowed to do that if you want to. I don't approve of it morally. I'm just saying you're allowed to do it. That is free speech. So unless you're orchestrating criminal activity or orchestrating violence, then you are allowed to say what you want to say. It's as simple as that. You're allowed to just hate whoever you want to hate. And listen, you go to hell for hating too. You hate people, you're going to hell for it. That's it. You have to love your brother. That's the way that it is. Sorry. There's lots of people I don't like, but I love them all. That is God's command to me, so I obey it. So, but now the Democrats are trying to take away your right to speak underneath. Now we've been saying it, for a while, just sarcastically, but thank goodness this is only happening in Australia. Thank goodness that you can't, that only the UK, where they have 4,000 hate speech arrest a year, not even hate speech arrest, but it's hate speech included in that, but speech related arrests per year, and Russia has 300. 4,000 in the democracy, 300 in the totalitarian regime. So it's as if the democracy is actually a totalitarian regime named a democracy, right? Like we talked about last night. But now the Democratic Party is now doing what the UK has done, what Canada has done, what Australia has done, what New Zealand has done, because all the Five Eyes countries are following themselves, all calling themselves purveyors of democracy, saying that they're sending all these billions and hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine to fight for democracy. It's actually perfect because Ukraine is the embodiment of the democracy they believe in, which is authoritarian, autocratic dictatorships. That's their democracy. And they call an authoritarian totalitarian dictatorship democracy, because that's what Volodymyr Zelensky, he is an authoritarian dictator presiding over a totalitarian regime. No elections, no opposition parties, no opposition media. And we're sending billions of dollars there for him to defend democracy against an authoritarian dictatorship when both of them are authoritarian dictatorships, and only one has actually removed Christianity out of their country, and that's Ukraine, but not Russia. Weird, isn't it? So now the very people who are espousing this sort of democracy, you know, that's what those to save our democracy. Tim Walz said, you know, your First Amendment rights don't cover misinformation, certainly not hate speech. And he said, and we need to enforce that to defend our democracy. So for Tim Walz, the person running for vice president of the United States, you're defending democracy by censoring speech. So here it is, Colin Rugg video. New Gavin Newsom signs a bill into law that bans the distribution. Sounds like distribution of narcotics. I wish he would actually fight against the distribution of fentanyl, but he doesn't care about that. What he cares about is the distribution of election communications that contain materially deceptive speech. So deceptive to a Democrat is all truths spoken by Republicans. Play it for me, Will.
There are a lot of deepfakes out there. There's not a lot of disclosure. There's not a lot of labeling. So among the many AI bills that are on the desk are three specific election-related bills.
And then do you want to sign some laws?
And I don't know. I just thought, you know, why waste your time with a politician unless they're going to do something for you?
There's two are signed, and three are signed.
And this is now official. That is now injunctive relief if you do any of those deep fake election misrepresentation. So that's how easy it is to govern.
One.
So he's signing a bill to remove your ability to post anything that contains, and this is in the largest state of the union, contains materially deceptive speech. So if I say that a human being is a human being prior to birth, to Gavin Newsom, that is now against the law. Are these criminal offenses? Remember, we had Hillary Clinton last night on the podcast. She said it sometime this week. Not sure whether it's Monday or Tuesday. But Hillary Clinton said that people who put out misinformation need to suffer civil and or criminal repercussions for putting out that speech. So who will be the arbiter of what is misinformation? Because the primary purveyors of misinformation are the people who are now deeming themselves to be the arbiters of misinformation. So misinformation becomes truth, and truth becomes misinformation. Because the liars are the police over misinformation. So if a liar calls something misinformation, then that misinformation is actually truth. It's just like you always want a jerk to say that you're a jerk. Because if a jerk calls you a jerk, you're actually a good person. So here you have now who's going to be over this? I guess Gavin Newsom, will we have a, like, you know, everybody forgets. I mean, not those that are watching this podcast, but a lot of people forget. That wasn't too long ago that Nina Jankowicz was going to run the Biden-Harris administration's disinformation governance board. They're going to have a federal disinformation governance board. But don't worry. It's all just going to be, just making suggestions. Just like in Australia right now where you have your biometric ID. But don't worry. It's voluntary. Just like Joe Biden said that he would never mandate the vaccine before he did. So it would just be this disinformation governance board putting out suggestions, you know, to, I guess, social media companies and individuals, I guess, about what is mis or disinformation. Do you remember how the FBI, the DHS, the State Department were all meeting with Facebook and just giving them suggestions about what needs to be taken down while basically subconsciously threatening them with punitive action if they don't take it down, i.e. if your government that can deem you to be in a monopoly at any time they want is telling you to do something and you're a multi-billionaire like Zuckerberg, will you not simply do what they tell you to do so you can stay in business? So now Gavin Newsom is going to outlaw, you can read it right here, CNN, Harris campaign social media account has repeatedly deceived with misleading edits and captions. So with this, now he's going to have to go after Kamala Harris. Hillary Clinton will have to go after Kamala Harris and have to go after Anthony Fauci because Anthony Fauci said masks work and they don't. He said the vaccine was safe and effective and it wasn't. He 36 million excess deaths. He said that the vaccine stopped transmission infection. So did Michelle Walensky. So did Joe Biden. So did Kamala Harris. So did Francis Collins. So did everybody said it would stop transmission infection. And it didn't. So I guess now all these people put out mis and disinformation, right? So I'm sure they will all be prosecuted under Gavin Newsom's law, right? and Gavin Newsom's numerous lies and numerous different misinformation posts that he's put out. I guess he will put himself, he will prosecute himself, right? Of course not. The only people that will be prosecuted are the ones who put out the misinformation that contradicts this clown's narrative and contradicts this clown's agenda. That is misinformation. So if I put out that a child is a human being prior to him or her being born, that to Gavin Newsom is misinformation. If I call a biological male who wants to pretend to be a female a biological male, then Gavin Newsom will prosecute me for disinformation, because Gavin Newsom and his wife are, I'm talking about the most ardent, I mean, the most ardent advocate for lopping off breasts and penises and testicles. They love to do that. So that's why he had the title of this podcast tonight. Democrats want to take your God-given rights away. Look at how happy he is. I just signed a bill to make this illegal in the state of California. You can no longer knowingly distribute an ad or other election communications that contain materially deceptive content, including deep fakes. So that Babylon Bee, a video that we played right before here with Gavin Newsom's fake AI voice, is now illegal. A criminal offense inside of the state of California. It's a criminal. So who will be the arbiter of this? And the Democrats are all rejoicing. They do all of this too. So just understand, it all depends on who's in charge at the moment. And by the way, now that this statute is in place in the state of California, you realize that most of the state of California is red. It is. Most of this, you're like, no way it's a landslide victory. First of all, they're running fraudulent, corrupt elections inside of LA, inside of Sacramento, inside of San Francisco, just like the seven cities and the six states in the 2020 election. But so now any Republican DA there can now turn on Gavin Newsom. You get this, guys? Yeah. You can now, if you have a red county prosecutor, because this is a state law, if Gavin Newsom puts out something, quote, contains materially deceptive content, like standing 6 feet apart will keep you from getting COVID, like locking down will keep you from getting COVID, the vaccine is safe and effective, the vaccine has no side effects, all of which Gavin Newsom has said, the vaccine doesn't cause excess mortality, as Gavin Newsom has said, it stops transmission and infection, as Gavin Newsom has said, and I, as a Republican, don't like that Gavin Newsom says that a preborn child is not a human being. Well, to me, that's materially deceptive. I can charge him as a red county prosecutor. What? These people are so freaking stupid. It is beyond understanding. All right, here, let's go to the next one. I just talk about this all night. Still on the same subject, though. Western Lensman video. Kamala, if you don't police social media platforms, we will hold you accountable. Play it for me.
We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms, because they have a responsibility to help.
We interrupt this broadcast for just a moment. 19 seconds until we are off CTN. They are not cutting us off. I got to make this public service announcement. Don't call them. They're not cutting us off. We're just running out of time. Switch, Aaron, put it up there. Rumble. Switch over to Rumble right now. We're still going live. 3, 2, 1, gone. All right, let's go back to the Western Lensman. Just start it over again, Will, right from the beginning. Run it for me.
We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms, because they have a responsibility to help fight against this threat to our democracy. And if you profit off of hate, if you act as a megaphone for misinformation or cyber warfare, if you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
So you have the prior presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton. You have the current vice presidential candidate and the current presidential candidate all for the Democratic Party advocating for policing speech. Kamala Harris, if you don't police your platform, we're going to police your platform. And by the way, they've already been policing everybody's platform. Zuckerberg came out and confessed to it all. Not that Zuckerberg has changed. He is still a cuckboy coward, but he knows that Donald J. Trump's about to be elected president. He doesn't want the repercussions. So he wants to get on the record as some sort of, he wants to get on the record as repentant. You know, I should never have caved. He came out and said it, that he was basically coerced and forced by the federal government, i.e. the FBI, the State Department, DHS, to take down conservative social media, conservative Facebook posts on his platform. So they've already been doing it. Of course, they were doing it with Google too. They were doing it with YouTube. I've been banned for life off YouTube. You're like, Tom, you're on YouTube right now. The church that I pastor has been banned off YouTube. We still put it on there anyway because we don't care about that crap. But anyway, we were banned for life. But anyway, they can do what they want. I don't care. Honestly, they can cram it all up their own cabooses. But anyway, so now the very people who are the prolific liars are the unrepentant liars, the unrepentant perjurers, the endless streams. Okay, now we can all, I guess, retroactively go back and charge them all with deep fakes and charge them all with this materially deceptive material for their collusion hoax, for their Ukraine hoax, for their Russian soldiers hoax, a Russian soldier bounty hoax, suckers and losers hoax, right? Well, I guess we can go back and charge them. We'll bring in the 19 witnesses that said Donald Trump never said suckers and losers. So now we got Joe Biden, who's put out materially deceptive, posts out on social media, and not even posts on social media, but anywhere that he's actually said on live media, all these various lies. I guess we can hold them accountable. And again, these people are so stupid, because if you make that, say you make that a federal law, great. Because you know what? A lot of the United States attorneys are Republicans. They'll charge you. Every time you lie, you'll be charged with a misinformation offense. When you make it illegal to put out misinformation. Listen, I don't like misinformation any more than anybody else. I don't like it any more than anybody else does. I'm just telling you, it can't be a crime. I mean, who's going to be the arbiter of hate? Who says what hate is? Because they can say that I can be charged with hate because I hate the Democratic Party platform, which I do. So I can now be charged with a hate crime because of hate speech. Well, then when I'm in power and they put out, I hate Republicans or I hate Donald Trump, well, then I can arrest them for hate speech because, you know, they, now I'm the arbiter of hate. So what they said is hate to me. How do they not get this? That they're going to end up in prison themselves. And all the Democrats that are rejoicing in this, understand that all that matters is who is it that fills out the affidavits in your jurisdiction? Red or blue guy? Red or blue guy? Because if now everything is in the eye of the beholder. Hate and misinformation are now in the eye of the beholder. If you are blue in a red jurisdiction, you'll be prosecuted. If you are red in a blue jurisdiction, you'll be prosecuted. Because everything a red person says in the eyes of the blue are hate and misinformation. Everything a blue person says in the eyes of the red is hate and misinformation. So everyone will just arrest each other and it'll go county by county. You won't be safe. Gavin Newsom himself isn't safe. All it takes is one prosecutor in one small town jurisdiction and he's done. He talks about materially deceptive posts. He's put out thousands of them. He lies every day of his life. Now it just takes one DA in one small town and Gavin Newsom be prosecuted. And believe me, it'll happen. So they're not only, so that covers the speech aspect. Let's move on to the Second Amendment. Let's look at Newsom and Kamala together here. Because I said the title of this broadcast tonight is that the Democrats are trying to take away our God-given rights. One of our God-given rights is to defend ourselves. Second Amendment is one way that we can defend ourselves. Right to bear arms. Second Amendment, ZZZ video. Still think they don't intend to take away your guns? Play for me, Will.
Among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
And guys, after this, we're going to skip the next three, and we're going to start, go right to Citizen Free Press, okay?
Got it.
That's the mashup video. There you go. All right, so there you go. right there. What does Kamala Harris say? Now, this is something that she is even, not necessarily her, but Democrats have said recently, that they're going to put these laws in place for safe storage. And if they deem it necessary to raid your house to see if you're doing it, they're going to do it. Because that just gives them, everything is inch by inch. Give them an inch to take a mile. Everything is inch by inch. Sometimes it's mile by mile, but on the whole, inch by inch, just like COVID was inch by inch. But they used 2020 till now, 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve, to basically take a century's worth of rights away from us that we have not gotten restored yet, including our free and fair elections have not been restored because now they're all mail-in ballots. They are all signature-free ballots, no signature verification, no ID verification, no proof of citizenship, et cetera, et cetera. So what they say here is, you know, we're not taking away your guns. We just are going to demand that you store them correctly. Okay, who deems what is correctly? Who deems what is correct? Who would do that? Oh, Gavin Newsom is. Gavin Newsom, a little limp-wristed, spineless worm, is going to tell me how I need to store my AR-15. Gavin Newsom's going to do that, right? How would Gavin Newsom doesn't even understand the difference between automatic or semi-automatic and wants to ban assault rifles that he can't define. He wants to control climate. He wants to control CO2 emissions, but can't define when CO2 becomes problematic. It's all just about totalitarian control. It's all about just taking over giant swaths of your life. So they just put a law. They want to put a law in place. Well, then we're not taking your guns away. We just want you to store them safely so that kids don't get killed. The kids that actually survive our abortion mills, we don't want them killed. We'll gladly kill them in the womb, but we don't want firearms to come. They always come out. Remember, that's always their rhetoric. The number one cause of death of kids in America are firearms. How is that possible? How is that even possible, the number one cause of death being firearms? I mean, ask yourself, who's the last person you've ever known that had a child killed by a firearm? Ask yourself that. So if it's zero, it's just like with COVID. Who died of COVID that you know? Zero. So how can it be a problem? They're saying that it's this number one cause of death, or this existential, they'll use that word existential, threat to your life, but nobody around you is dying of it. I would love to say that to my family members who caved to COVID and are 5 times vaccinated. Who do you know that died of COVID? Name it. Oh, there's people that I know. No, they went into the hospital. They went into the hospital with a broken finger. Somebody shoved PCR test up their nose. It's 97% inaccurate. And not just 97% inaccurate, 97% of the time says that it's positive. And then they put them on remdesivir and killed them. Put them on ventilators and killed them. That's what actually happened with these COVID deaths inside of hospitals. Nurses testified to it until, of course, they're banned off of Zuckerberg's Facebook at the command of the federal government. But I digress. So you're going to have totalitarians telling you, you know, we want to make sure your guns are stored safely so that we can save the kids that we would gladly abort in the womb. And the number one cause of death of children in America is automobile accidents. And number two is drowning. It's not even in the top three. I don't think it's any. I mean, by the way, most of these deaths that are attributed to gun deaths are suicides by like 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. They have nothing to do with a 3-year-old dying from a gunshot wound. Who have you ever known? And where those kids are actually dying of gunshot wounds when they're 2 or 3 years old are in gun-free zone Chicago, where there's 53 shootings a weekend. But these people, they want to come into your home. They want to come into your home and decide whether or not you're storing. And she even says it. If you aren't going to store it correctly, we're going to come into your home and deem whether you're storing it correctly, force you to store it correctly. And of course, that would morph into, that would metamorphosize into them saying, you know what? You didn't store your guns right. So you know what? We're just going to take them. We're going to put them into safekeeping till you can decide to store your guns correctly. All right, let me show you this real quick. So they're saying that, you know, the Democrats who are going to be the ones who criminalize misinformation, they're saying that when we talk about Springfield, Ohio, everything that we say about Springfield, Ohio, that there's 30,000 people that have been dumped in Springfield, Ohio by Joe Biden's illegal migrant flights. These Haitians didn't even have to go through the arduous journey through the Darien Gap up through the southern border. Joe Biden picked them up in jets and flew them to Springfield, Ohio. And again, you know, someone brought this up again. I don't remember if it was Bongino or Alex Jones. I was watching both today. Somebody brought this great point up. Why aren't any of these Haitians dropped in affluent Democratic areas? Why are they not in Martha's Vineyard? Why is that? Why are they not in Martha's Vineyard? I mean, why are they not right next to Barack Hussein Obama's various mansions in Chicago, in D.C., in Hawaii? In Martha's Vineyard also, he has a mansion. Why aren't they dropped off there? I'm just curious. Why do they end up in heavily Republican areas so they vote Democrat and change the heavily Republican area into a heavily Democratic area? That's the purpose behind all of this illegal migration. But the very people who are now going to govern speech and calling everything that we say misinformation, even though everything that we're saying is absolute truth, what we call in the TLP facts. Let's prove, now they're saying everything that we're saying about Springfield is a lie. That there's nobody, even though we have pictures, we have police reports of Haitians killing, you know, ducks. And, you know, the woman who ate the cat wasn't exactly in Springfield proper, but she was in Ohio and she was an illegal Haitian migrant eating a cat on police body cam footage with cat in her teeth. The police officer, open your mouth. She's got kitty. She's got a little snowball in her teeth with the fresh cat dead. And the Democrats are watching that. Oh, she wasn't exactly in Springfield. She's a Haitian migrant in Ohio eating a cat on video. And I mean, imagine being a Democrat. And again, I started this last week. I'll say it again this week. How can you be a Democrat and look at that video and say that everything that the Republican Party and Donald Trump are saying about Springfield is a lie when it's right there on videotape? When you see a Haitian man walking down the road, beheaded ducks, it's on videotape. There's numerous testimonies from Springfield residents that they've seen Haitians killing domesticated animals. All right, so there's another subject. Everything that we say, I guess, is disinformation, right? Citizen Free Press video. This is a mashup, pun intended, mashup video of recent car accidents in Springfield. Now you're like, well, so what? There's car accidents everywhere. No, they're having a mass rash of car. And I didn't play this video, but there's a guy testifying at the Springfield City Commission that he basically can't afford his insurance anymore because insurance went up like 300%. Why? Because the insurance company said, well, no problem. We'll get you insurance. Where do you live? Springfield, your rates are going to triple. My rates are going to triple. Why? Because of all the Haitian drivers. These videos, the video that I'm going to show you is a mashup video of Haitian drivers driving around Springfield, Ohio, that has now caused car insurance rates to go up through the roof because all of the Haitian caused accidents inside of Springfield. Because all you have to do, because nobody wants to offend the Haitians for some reason, nobody has any problem offending our veterans, nobody has any problem offending conservatives, nobody has any problems offending white people or black people that are Americans. No problem offending us, but we don't want to offend the Haitians. Why is that exactly? I don't know. But in order to get a driver's license in Springfield, Ohio, all you have to do is prove that you're over the age of 16. That's it. What do you mean, Tom? That's it. What about a prior license that said you could drive? You know, because here in America, it's not just that you're 16 years of age, depending on what state you live in, that you're 16 years of age. It's now you had to first, when you get your learner's permit as a 15-year-old, then you have to do a driving test and a written test to get your driver's license, right? Not if you're Haitian. You guys understand this? Not if you're Haitian. You don't have to have a learner's permit for any period of time. You don't have to take a driver's test. You don't have to take a written driver's test, a vision test. You don't have to take the practical driving test. Nothing. All you do is prove that you're over the age of 16, and you can just do whatever you want. And this is what happens. Play it for me, Will. Hey, guys, just run that, mute it and run it side by side when as fast as you can. Now, here's the weird thing. Again, law enforcement, 25 years, worked a lot of automobile crashes. We don't call them accidents in the state of Florida. It's actually, by statute, call them crashes. So automobile accidents, I don't know how many I've worked, hundreds and hundreds of them. But anyway, you're in Springfield, Ohio, which is 60,000 people. Where we are sitting right now is 350,000 people live in this county where we're at. So this is a small town. 60,000 people is not tiny, but a small town. How many houses, how many cars have you seen? Look at that, run into houses in a town. Look at that. They're in that. It's in the house. I mean, you here in Sarasota, I'm trying to think if I ever worked in 25 years of law enforcement, a car running into a house. It happens here, but it is extraordinarily rare. And some of the worst drivers on the planet drive here. Seriously. I mean, when you're dealing with Quebec drivers, Canadian drivers, and senior citizens a lot of times, some of the worst drivers, and a lot of tourist drivers have no idea where they're going, so they're slamming on their brakes in the middle of the road. So we have some of the worst drivers in America are in the state of Florida. And I'm trying to think if I ever worked a crash where a car ran into a house. And this is just over a short period of time that this video was put together, this cumulative video of automobile crashes was put together. And how many of them are running into people's houses? And how many of these are extremely severe? So now the Americans, who should be priority one, are not able to get insurance. And Will brought up a very important point that I didn't think of. None of the people that are causing these crashes, the Haitians, have insurance. So as Will stated, you're screwed. Yeah, you are. Absolutely. What are you going to do? Who's going to pay for it? Look at the houses. Look at that building. Look at the houses. Okay, you're talking. Look at the damage to the houses. You run into your house. You're talking about a minimum of $50,000 worth of damage. Right there, $50,000. I guarantee you to fix that house. Who's going to pay for that? Oh, don't Kamala Harris? She going to pay for it? They don't give a crap about us. They don't care because it never will touch them. They never have to live with the fear at night of having your house blown wide open by a Haitian migrant, illegal migrant, flown in by Joe Biden under his temporary protection plan, who blows a hole inside of your house. Look at that. Look at that house. Look at that house. Look at that house. They don't have to worry about it. They don't have to worry about it at all. Where you're laying there at night going, what am I going to do? My house is wide open. Winter's coming. They don't ever have to worry about that. Not when you're a bourgeois globalist elitist, bourgeois globalist leftist elitist. They don't have any of these problems. They thrust all problems on us, and that never touches them. They're not dropping Haitian migrants in any leftist areas at all. You're like, Tom, there are some, like in Chicago and New York, there's lots of migrant issues and lots of things like that. That's true. But I'm talking about bourgeois globalist leftist elitists. They're dropping that. You know what? There's plenty of Democratic Party victims of this too. Hopefully they'll vote correctly this time, but most of them won't. Most Democrats who are being victimized by the Biden-Harris immigration policies will vote for Harris in the upcoming election, even though they're losing their livelihoods over that immigration policy, because of that immigration policy. All right, that's it. 18 minutes in overtime. That's good. Stick around for the post-game. Post-game's awesome. Rumble Rants, Texas Billy, $50. Nude Monk, $20. Skeeter Davis, $20. Tammy L. Margritter, $20. Thank you guys so much. Really do appreciate you. Listen, you really do have to stick around for these post-games. They're short. I'm done talking. Don't have to listen to me ramble on and on anymore. Rant on and on anymore. Stick around for the post-game. It's awesome. It really is. It's great stuff. We'll be back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Forgot a time for just a second there. But anyway, back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. Love you guys. See you then. Those Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology and didn't pass the test. But you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years, and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.